Hello, welcome to the ABM Done Right podcast. I'm Eric Gruber, CEO of Personal ABM, and your host today. Today, we're going to be talking about the state of intent, the differences between different kinds of intent, and how to differentiate between the different intent types, and what we should be adding on top of intent data to inform our go-to-market, and lastly, how we should go to market based on the type of intent. My guest today is Chris Rack, the CEO of MRP. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, how are you?
I am good, and yourself?
I am okay, coming up to the end of the quarter. So very exciting, busy times.
Cool. Now, before we talk about how we should be leveraging intent, because many teams struggle with leveraging intent, can you actually talk about the state of intent the market today, where we are, what the thoughts that are out there, what is going on, what is wrong? Can you talk about the state of intent?
Yeah, I mean it intent data is really kind of in an interesting renaissance right now. It's been around for a really, really long time and everybody kind of knows of it, but no one really knows what it is or how it's truly kind of fueled, right? So most of the vendors in this space have done a fairly decent job of creating a black box of intent data where everybody knows that they have it, but no one really knows where it comes from, right? And I think it's created a little bit of overgeneralization, a little bit of mistrust from the B2B marketing and sales community on, what intent actually is and its value as a whole, right? So I think the biggest gap right now is two things. One, most intent data in the space is coming from two, maybe three sources, right? And most of the, dozens, if not hundreds of vendors are leveraging really just two or three general sources and calling it different names across the spectrum. And two, most of those sources or most of the intent data in the space right now is it's considered what I would consider intent to learn data and not necessarily intent to purchase, which I think is really what most B2B marketers or sellers are actually looking for when they think intent.
Can you actually talk about the difference between the intent to purchase and intent to learn? And
It's really,
why teams are confusing the
yeah. I mean, so there's all different types of signals, right? And most intent players in the space aggregate signals or indications, usually centered around, some sort of consumption of content or some sort of action, right? Intent to learn, I consider, very minimally committal signals, right? So the most common one is engagement with a website on a specific topic or, category track, right? If I happen to read an article about, HR software, right? Do I actually have intent to purchase HR software or am I just researching it in general? I just happen to come across an article that I found interesting, right? So most intent, driven by what is called big bidstream technology, and/or co-ops is just that. Company, somebody at company X happen to go to a website, read an article, or read a piece of content on one of the sites that's being tracked. And if that happens with enough frequency or propensity, then most intent providers will call them or that company is quote unquote having intent. Intent to purchase, I consider engagement or signals that happen, that are a little bit more indicative of someone actually in the purchase, right? So not just reading a website, but reading, different types of content that indicate interest in purchase. Things like case studies or comparison reports or pricing guides or review sites, things of that nature, right? Engagement with those types of content, show a significantly higher propensity to become, buyers who are actually in the market, right? There's actually, also a ton of survey data or engagement data with actual customers out there where vendors are actually asking customers, what are you looking to buy in the next 12 months, right? So confirm project data. That's a signal that I consider, significantly more intent to purchase versus just intent to learn. There's many other examples, but those are probably the most high level ones from that perspective.
So how should we be differentiating between the two different types of intent, or what should sales and marketing teams actually be looking for in
Yeah.
order to get their go-to-market motions?
Yeah, the first thing that you should do is just kind of ask detailed questions, right? Like ask the vendor where they're getting their intent from, right? What's the source, right? Most will say something like, oh, we aggregate data from 600,000 websites and content consumption, but really they're likely just buying that data from a bid stream provider who's analyzing, content consumption trends across ad signals, right? You should also ask, are there any other vendors in the space who leverage the same source of intent data as you do? Right. Again, that's another common question as well, too, right? Because again, most raw intent providers resell their data to other vendors to which they white label. So those are two really good first questions I would ask, right? And the more vague the response that you get from the vendor, the less they generally want you to know about how they're collecting the signals, right? I would also ask, is the data first party or proprietary, or is it purchased and, is it purchased and white labeled, right? Some vendors in the space have a first party proprietary signal data set, right? Where they're collecting signals that they only gather across their internal mechanisms. Those are obviously, worth a bit more because you can only get them from one spot versus in many different spots. So it's really, a lot just about arming yourself with the right questions to ask your vendor, right? And then, really diving into like, where is this data actually coming from?
Now, what I see a lot of times is sales and marketing teams, whether it is intent to learn or even intent to buy, they basically react to the intent data versus acting as a, using the intent data as a springboard. And that to me is where I think teams should be doing, leveraging it to now see, okay, yes, they may be learning, yes, they may be in market. But now, why? And teams should be looking for the why and adding account intelligence on it. Because now I want to see, is there a real strategic priority in place to help us now differentiate? Are they just looking?
Right.
I mean, you have the source, but then also understanding why. What is actually going beyond that intent data? So that's what we should be speaking to, is the why versus what they were looking at and what they might be looking, so we can create a bigger vision versus just respond and react, because everyone has some kind of intent data. How do you see that sales and marketing teams need to better leverage intent data to have a better experience? Because it is all about that interaction, and that's where I think it's go teams are going wrong.
Yeah, I think it's really, the first thing I can say is that, you don't need to purchase an expensive, difficult to onboard platform or solution to be able to leverage intent data. There's a ton of solution providers that can layer intent data onto demand generation or lead solutions that can deliver what you're looking for, which is pipeline and ROI without a 6-month onboarding process or an $80,000 a year annual commitment, right? That's the first thing I would say. Second, it's really about, understanding what, where the customer is, right? And then obviously how to attack them, right? And to the point earlier, right? Intent to learn type buyers, there's value there, right? But what to do with those buyers, right? And obviously you're not passing them to sales, you're not, immediately reaching out to them, you're not really, aggressively attacking them from that perspective, versus those who are very much intent to purchase and getting those into your outbound sales motions and, outbound marketing programs and ABM campaigns and things of that nature, right? So it's really, it's not necessarily where the not necessarily where the buyers are in the quote unquote buyer journey. That's a common misconception. It's where they are in like their thought process, right? Because now 80% of that journey is handled more so independently versus, reaching out to a sales or a company, right? So it's really The hyper focus is just kind of understanding what they're thinking about, right? Are they thinking, can I afford this? Are they thinking about what's my problem? Are they thinking about what vendors, compete with what I'm looking for? What are my options? There's a whole ton of different thoughts that a B2B decision maker will have, and identify and trying to correlate what thought they're having based on what type of content or what type of triggers they're consuming, can be really beneficial in how you attack them and how you, prospect to them and market to them from a B2B standpoint.
Now, talking about how we should attack them based on the intent, if they are having intent to learn, and this is where I think your one to few ABM programs come into place, how should we be attacking them and really using demand gen to qualify them for a 101? Should we actually move them forward? How should we attack them if there is intent to learn versus intent to buy? What should we be doing in an account-based way?
Yeah, I mean, I think intent to learn from that perspective needs to be more creating, building yourself out as a thought leader, right? So staying in front of them. So when they start reaching the phase where they have intent to buy, they think of you and your solution first. So that's really, getting them into your ecosystem and getting them in a position or finding them in a spot where you can communicate to them, right? And then when you have the chance to communicate with them, you really, really put yourself out in front of them as a thought leader in the space through great content and webinars and podcasts and all of the different content to where when that customer reaches, hey, intent to buy phase, right? They start comparing vendors, they start looking at what they can afford, they think of your vendor first, right? Or definitely very much in the mix.
Yep. Now, when you talk about thought leadership, the way I usually see it is it has to be thought leadership around their strategic priorities, because I want to create that buying vision so they can start to see, okay, yes. So I'm not just educating them on things around their industry. It is not just providing awareness. To me, it's I'm now giving that thought leadership based on where they want to go. So I want to look for why are they starting to look? Why are they starting to want to learn? What is actually going on in that organization? And then you cluster similar accounts, like similar types of companies, and you provide a thought leadership that speaks to where they want to go. So you can create that buying vision. So when they are ready to go further, they're leaning toward you because now you're giving them the vision versus just generalized knowledge and information, which a lot of times people do when they get stuck in that thought leadership space of, I'm just want to stay top of mind, but I want to stay top of mind and be relevant to where they are. And that's what most people forget.
I think to that point, some customers have, some companies are they need help in identifying the problem, right? Like they or like or how to actually define what the problem is they're trying to solve. They know something's wrong, but they don't specifically know how to solve for it, right? And then so being the vendor from a thought leadership perspective that helps them potentially identify the problem that they have puts you in a significantly better light. To be able to, be the vendor that solves that they choose to solve for it ultimately, right? Because I think the most common misconception is that people go and they're like, oh, I need HR software, right? Well, they might not know that they need that. They just know that they have, a problem where they are having, difficulties paying payroll in multiple geographies, right? So they don't know what the solution is. They don't even necessarily know what the problem is as an aggregate, but they know that. They have some challenges and, helping to be the vendor who like really identifies that, right? Helps put a finger on what the actual need is, gives you a significant
Yes.
opportunity to be to choose long term.
And that thought leadership is different because you're now speaking to specific problems within those specific accounts. So that's where I always say we have to add that account intelligence on top of the intent data. We have to actually understand the why So now we can create content to help them understand their issues, their problems, help them understand where their gaps are, and start to define a buying vision for them. So they almost do it as a qualification stage. Are you just learning to learn, or am I learning to, I want to move forward? And then once they show enough engagement in that content, and I start to see that as I'm changing how they are looking to move forward, that's when I start to do the one-on-one ABM, and I'm now very personal to them. Now, when it comes to intent to purchase, how do you see that we need to attack them in a account-based go-to-market way?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's really about, connecting with the global team as a whole, sales, customer experience, et cetera, building kind of a very well thought out multi-channel approach to kind of creatively, get to them and stand out from the noise, right? On average, I mean, now that automation and AI are more prevalent for sellers and obviously marketers in that sense, the average B2B decision maker gets, 100 plus prospecting emails a day for technology and solutions, right? So simply putting them in an outbound sequence and reaching out to them because they're in market isn't good enough anymore, right? You really have to do the job as a marketer and as a sales team as well to stand out from the noise of the other, what is probably dozens of vendors that you compete with just in your category, but the hundreds of vendors that you compete for their spend in overall, right? So once somebody is showing intent, it's really about what I call kind of next level marketing, right? What are you going to do that stands out from the noise of all of the other vendors in the space who are doing all the basics, automation, AI, all of that type of stuff?
Yep. Now, in the intent to learn, I say we have, this is where we have to create the buying vision. When it comes to intent to purchase, now I got to reframe their buying vision. I got to get them to think differently because they've already, as you say, if they're already intent to purchase, they're looking at many different vendors. They already have an idea in their mind. And in most cases, sales and marketing teams just react to predefined needs. And then it just becomes about who's going to give us the most capabilities for our needs at the lowest price. So where I say that now it comes to intent to purchase, we have to reframe their thoughts and ideas based on where they want to go. Again, I can't just react to intent data. I got to understand the why of their intent data. Now I'm going to start talking about competitor-specific gaps and the impact it's going to have on the strategic priority. And it'll start to show this is what people, what many companies like them did not think about as they went forward with implementing a certain kind of solution. So now it's trying to get them to change their thoughts. So now it isn't an apples to apples comparison and trying to see who's going to give us the best price and meet our needs. So now it is the teaching for differentiation. And that's where I see a lot of teams are not doing because they're still reacting to that intent data of what they're looking for, what they were looking for in those review sites, and trying to respond to persona pain points versus where they're looking to go and where the gaps are. So now it's to me, I got to reframe their thoughts, especially if you want to get a bigger deal size and not worry about being undercut. Because now I have to have a different conversation than the different other vendors. And we all know that most companies at this point is using some kind of intent. And a lot of them are getting the same kind of signals. So you if they know they're in market, well, we have to change the conversation and have a different one than everyone else is having.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a key point, right? Like your competitors, if you're not choosing your intent vendor carefully, are likely getting the same signals that you are and likely reaching out to the same people that you are. Right? There's so much overlap in raw intent data across numerous different vendors because so many vendors are using the same data sets of signals, right? That chances are if you're buying and leveraging intent from a vendor and you don't know where it comes from, right, or who else is using that data, you're probably reaching out to the same people that all of your
In
competitors
the
are.
same way. And that's what we got to change is that we can't respond to everyone else in the same way because you're just going to be compared to, okay, so you are like X company. And that is the worst thing you want to hear is that you are compared to a competitor. And we want them to see how you're different. How are you going to give them that unique value and how we're going to uniquely fill their gaps? That's how we're going to break out of that sea of sameness because, yeah, they're getting the same intent data, and they're getting responded to in the same way. And that's how, if we go beyond that intent data, we uncover the why and we change the conversation. That's how you're going to break out of that sea of sameness.
Agreed.
Oh, now I am getting towards the end of this podcast. So, of course, Chris, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about yourself and, of course, MRP and the prospects. I mean, that companies and listeners know how they can get in touch with you and learn more about MRP.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you. I'm again Chris Reck, the CEO of MRP. MRP is a solutions provider. We provide lead generation and demand solutions for mostly B2B software and technology companies, but growing in the services space as well. So we have a proprietary intent signal engine, right? That we capture all of the signals ourselves across our own audiences and our own medium. So again, to a lot of the points earlier, we don't share signals across many different vendors. And the signals that we do track, we really focus on those down funnel or later stage signals, right? Not the, more intent to buy versus intent to demand. So we take those signals and combine them with, B2B solutions like high quality calling services, direct mail, content syndication to drive, leads that convert for B2B marketers, driving a lot of pipeline. We do a lot of ABM programs as well too. So you can reach me at LinkedIn fairly easily at Christopher Rack. You can reach us at mrpfd.com. We're always available to chat with anybody looking to execute some high quality programs.
Perfect. Well, Chris, I do want to thank you for coming on and joining us today. I know my partner, Christina Jaramillo, is going to be on your podcast just, I think, next week or the next couple of weeks. So we look forward to continuing the conversation.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.